wait. The presentation is loading. So this particular presentation is going to be more about the loss. What happens when something is not sustained? And so in specific, this is the work of one of my dissertation students, and she has a presentation at exactly the same time. And so that's where she is, and I'm here presenting on her behalf. I don't have any disclosures. We're going to go through and apply a network lens to the HIV services delivery in Baltimore. We're going to discuss the consequences of the unexpected closure of one of the agencies that was very important in the community, and then we're going to talk about some lessons from this shutdown. In the corner there, you see a little picture that shows you what a network map ends up looking like. When you have, for example, a central organization, it would be represented as someone in the middle, okay, and it would be surrounded by lots of other dots that it's connected to. So a central agency means primarily that it's got more contacts to other agencies throughout the system that you're looking at than the rest of them do. And so what that means practically is that it's an important route for information, and it tends to be a resource sharer, and everyone tends to be very interdependent with this organization. So that's why it's important to know which agencies are central within the network. Now, this network that we're talking about includes all sorts of different service agencies. So some of them are primarily case management, some are primarily medical services, others are providing meals, for example, or services for the homeless. So there are a lot of different agencies that could be considered as providing some services to the HIV community in Baltimore, and we have several of them represented. Now, there was a dissertation that was done in the 1990s by Jennifer Quaid, and in that dissertation we learned that there was a strongly central agency at that time, and it's called Agency 13 here. And Agency 13, we actually know who that really is, although I'm not going to tell you. But we were able in the interviews to ask about Agency 13, even though it doesn't exist anymore, and get reactions from our interviewees about what was the importance of this agency. So we're going to discuss here the impact of the closure on the community as well as the other agencies. So the clientele receiving services as well as the other agencies. So Agency 13, just to describe it for you a little bit, had started out as kind of a couple of people volunteering, providing counseling services for folks with AIDS. And then from that it grew into an organization that provided a wide array of wraparound services. So they ultimately were providing legal services, and they were the only provider of legal services. During a time where there was so much stigma attached to AIDS and HIV, and there were a lot of needs for legal consultation. Case management services, they provided care in the home. They also provided food. And then they developed this drop-in center that became really important in the Baltimore community because it was a place for people who had HIV or AIDS to come and just hang out. It was a safe place. And they were able to network with others. They were able to access mailboxes, showers, laundry services, and all sorts of other things that were related to this drop-in center. And so we also know that one of the reasons why it was central to the entire network of agencies was because a lot of people who worked there then went on to work in other agencies, also serving the same clientele throughout Baltimore. So those kinds of links existed. They provided a grant writing training programs for smaller agencies, and they had a very popular annual fundraiser for AIDS that really brought the community together. And so there were a lot of reasons why this organization was pretty important within the community. The methods for this study are that NITI conducted semi-structured interviews with key informants in 21 different HIV service agencies in Baltimore, and the respondents were asked about the impact of the exit of this key player, Agency 13, from the network. And then she conducted a thematic analysis of the interviews using the constant comparative method. So the themes that we're going to talk about revolve around sort of the importance of the loss of the network to the network of agencies, but also to the clients. And some of those losses are reported as still felt, even though this agency disappeared about 5 years ago. In addition, we're going to talk about some of the positive consequences for the network that resulted as well. And so you can see some of the resiliency of the network, despite the fact that if we were to cover up a main dot, you would in that picture I showed you, you would see how many disconnections resulted from having covered up that central dot in the middle. Okay. So the drop-in center itself was very important. Here's a nice quote. The drop-in center is focal to why Agency 13 became a point of entry for most people. It was essentially a drop-in center for anyone with HIV that could come from any agency, whoever found them. So they may have one primary agency that was serving them, but this quote is illustrating for us that everybody went to this drop-in center, and it was a real focal point for the entire community. Once that drop-in center got built, then everybody came to Agency 13 and would sit at that drop-in center, network with each other. It really became the focus. There was also a loss of unique services that were not being provided by other service agencies at the time. It had in one place social work, case management, medical service, legal services, they had showers. They had just so many supportive services under one roof. Another quote, they had that lovely facility with the drop-in center and laundry. For our clients, that was like gold. They had a phone bank and mailboxes. So there were all sorts of wonderful services that this organization provided. Another thing that we're learning 5 years later was missed at the time was that there seems to be no new source of support groups for men. There are support groups out there, but they're primarily women-focused. Well, I have a client who told me that, you know, since Agency 13 closed, it's hard for him to find support groups because he was referred to another agency. He felt like it was more for women. Even though they have a men's support group, he just felt that the whole agency was geared towards women. And so he felt uncomfortable, and I think that's probably a big impact that Agency 13, that closure just, a lot of men are displaced. Because I don't even have a lot of information where to send men for support groups. So this is someone working in a current agency who's reflecting on this sort of lack of support groups for men, and that's one of the results of this, the loss of this central agency. This one I think is important because it describes the loss of an important and safe place. There are clients who use their services and miss them. They miss the friendships. I don't think from a service standpoint people are missing anything because I think there's enough of what they offered that's still happening. But I think that a lot of clients missed emotionally that environment and that safe place. So that hasn't been replaced. And there's another quote that I wanted to read you that I don't have on a slide, but I thought was also moving in this sense about the emotional loss that people were feeling, even though this is just an organization, right? It just provides services. But people were very attached to it. I think for my clients, there's been very little loss except for that which was emotional. Like a lot of newer clients, of course, they know nothing about Agency 13, right? But then there are clients who use their services and miss them. They miss the friendships. I don't think from a service standpoint they're missing anything, which is part of this quote. And a lot of people, including some of my staff members, accredit being alive today because of the work of Agency 13. Because they could go to this place and get the help they needed, and so it was a very valuable place in our city. So it's hard to see how they're able to replace that. The other effect that it had was the loss of a coordinating agency. So again, that central position within the network meant that they received a lot of information from all different agencies and were able to share that information as well as sending referrals and so on. So they were connector. It was truly like the outreach capital in Baltimore. And you know, we have kind of played around with like who is in the best position to pick it up to replace Agency 13. You know, a medical facility is not the best kind of overseer for an outreach model. So we've wondered if we are, essentially, are they the right one to take over this oversee or model? But we're so housing driven. Then what does that mean? We would almost certainly turn ourselves into like a housing referral service. So, and sometimes it isn't about housing. You know, many times it is, but not always. So there doesn't seem to be anyone that's picked it up and run with it again. On the other hand, though, there were some positive consequences that were evident from the interviews. And these positive consequences mostly have to do with how the network responded to this sudden hole right in the middle of the network. So one positive result was the increase in choices for clients. When it came time for Agency 13's clients to be referred to other agencies, the clients began to open their eyes and said, oh, is this available? I didn't know this was available. Or, you know, I can get this service here. I didn't have to just go there and put up with that. I could have gone anywhere else. So there's some education there where people are starting to realize that there are additional choices, and that if they're not happy with the services they're receiving in one place, they've got somewhere else that they can go. Some clients just didn't know anything but Agency 13. So now that they know, they can still get their service through other agencies. Another positive outcome was the growth in other agencies. We've seen a lot of agencies going now for their own funding, they said. They didn't have case management funding, and they would send their clients for case management to Agency 13. So now they are able to do those kinds of things themselves. With Agency 13 not available anymore, that funding was freed up so that agencies were able to get their own case management money, and now they can case manage their own clients. There was a benefit to them, but I think it was definitely a huge loss in many ways. Another benefit was that these agencies started paying attention to financial planning. When Agency 13 disappeared, there was a lot of rumor about what had happened, and it was blamed primarily on administrative issues and inability to sustain itself. And so this made all of the agencies very concerned about their own financial management and their own documentation of financial affairs. So I think it affects the way we do what we do internally. Make sure your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted. And it led to a focus on sustainability planning. So I think that we really opened it up to not having this happen again. So now there is this transition plan that we all have to turn in the event that your door is closed. What steps are going to be taken to make sure that your clients' needs are still going to be met? And this is required by the Ryan White Funding Agency in Baltimore, requires that everyone have this transition plan. But I think to Wilma's point earlier, you can have a plan, but there need to be, you know, some clear evidence that you're going to use that plan, or that you're evaluating and updating that plan regularly, and somebody needs to monitor the plan. So the implications are that the closure of a central agency can have really some long-lasting effects on both the structure and the operations of a network. In addition, the stability of the network may be protected by offering some extra support to some of these central agencies. So if you know what the set of services are that are available to a given community, and you know which agencies are playing extremely central roles in supporting their peers, then maybe we need to, from a policy standpoint, provide additional support to those central agencies. We can use them too. We can use them as a way to disseminate information, for example. If we have some kind of an important policy update, send it to them. You can bet within a couple of days, everybody else in the system will also know about it. There are ways to use them, but we also need to be sure that they're receiving necessary support so that we don't lose some of these. And then I thought that the idea of diversification of funding also applies here, in the sense that you can try to have agencies that diversify the kinds of services they're offering so that they're able to plug in the hole if a hole comes along. And finally, HIV delivery systems need to plan for sustainability. And they need to put some teeth in those plans. So to the extent that, for example, the Ryan White Funding Agency can oversee these plans, not just require them, but then ask to see them updated on a regular basis, and ask them for some real measures, some actual measures of what they're doing, and some demonstration of whether they are implementing sustainability plans. So where's your let me see your policy on replacing leadership. If an important key member of your leadership goes away, how do we back that person up? And so on. So I very much appreciate your attention, and I hand it back to Bob.